Design Commission 30 minutes early today in order to accommodate, the appeal of LU18-277183DZMAD. That is the mixed-use building at 5020 North Interstate. So it is June 27th, and this is Portland Design Commission. Let's begin with introductions. First, the Bureau of Development Services staff who are here right now.
Benjamin Nielsen.
Laura Duvall.
Brian Tierney.
Thank you very much. Tim Heron is also here. And members of the commission who are here today?
Sam Rodriguez.
Don Vallister.
Zary Santner.
Jessica Molinar.
And I'm Julie Livingston. Commission members are private citizens appointed by the mayor to provide review of large projects within designated design zones. We're not paid, but we serve entirely as volunteers. More detailed information about the commission can be found in the Portland Zoning Code. This is, as I said, a continuation of a Type 2 appeal from last week. I am not going to read the intro statement for the Type 2 appeal because we did read that last week.
The record is closed.
The record is closed. Thank you very much. The record is currently closed. We did not leave it open. But I am going to open it very briefly so that each commissioner can state whether they have had any ex parte contact related to this case with any member of the community over the course of the last week. So officially, the record is now open, and let's begin with Commissioner Sam Rodriguez.
Yes, after the hearing last Thursday, I had some interaction.
Sam, be real close to your mic.
I had some interaction with Chris. Oh, sorry, Chris, your last name?
Trable.
Chris Trable from the Neighborhood Association, which I expressed that I was sorry that it seemed like the results weren't going in the direction of the Neighborhood Association's their desires. And that that there was an opportunity still to appeal to LUBA, which is something that I had said during the it's all consistent with what I had said during the actual hearing. So it was consistent with what I said on the record.
That's okay. All. Thank you, Sam. Don, anything?
Yeah, I had a two-sentence interaction with Chris also.
Can you put them
real close to your mic?
Yes, and expressed that I thought the outcome was favorable, and he gave me more of a disgruntled reaction. So that was the extent of the conversation.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Zary?
I have two items that I want to declare. One is I also had a conversation, not a conversation, a sentence. I complimented Mr. Trable for his very cogent and clear presentation. And then also, this week, I went to the site, visited the site, and walked and drove around the neighborhood and walked a good length of Interstate Street.
That's okay. It. Thank you very much. Jessica?
I also made a site visit earlier this week.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I received some voicemails from numbers that I didn't recognize. I did not listen to them. I just put them in a separate folder to listen to after today's hearing concludes or after this case concludes. And I also received at least one email and could tell from the subject line that it was about this case. And so I put it in the same folder, did not read it, and am waiting until after this case concludes to read it. With that, I will invite anyone who chooses to respond to these disclosures of ex parte contact to comment or protest. But if there isn't anyone who wishes to, Chris Trable, you've got your hand in the air. Would you like to come forward? Now, I think you're on.
Great. Chris Trable, Overlook Neighborhood Association. Just very quickly, and just 30 seconds, I would add to Sam's assessment of our conversation that during that conversation, we discussed the LUBA appeal, and I made the suggestion that it would be better if the applicant were making the LUBA appeal, to which Sam's response was, they wouldn't do that because they know they will lose. So I just wanted that on the record that he indicated to me that he was confident that an appeal would be favorable to the Overlook Neighborhood Association. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? I don't see any other hands in the air. So with that, we will close the record and we will have commissioner deliberation prior to a vote. And we should be able to move fairly quickly into a vote, but I would like to give commissioners the opportunity to state their position or make any comments that they would like to prior to the vote.
Can I make one comment first, please?
Yes, please, Ben.
You received a copy of tentative findings last night. Sorry it came so late. I wanted to make one addition to the H exhibits, which is testimony sign-in sheet from last week should be on the exhibit list as H40. And that's all.
I'm sorry, Ben, would you mind stating that one more time? Now I've got the findings
No problem.
In front of me.
I just wanted to state that the testimony sign-in sheet from last week should be exhibited on the exhibit list as well, and that would be number H40 on the list at the very bottom.
Great. This is on page 33 of the tentative findings. Thank you very much. Okay, commissioners, who would like to open?
Are we having deliberations?
This is deliberations.
Okay.
So, and let's begin with the Overlook. Let's keep the two appeals separate. Let's begin with the Overlook Neighborhood Association's appeal.
I am still of the opinion that their appeal should be upheld. The criteria for the adjustment are not met, particularly A, which is within 100 feet of a transit street, which is that the granting the adjustment will equally or better meet the purpose of the regulation, which is the 25% of ground floor area must be active use. 20% is not 25%. That criteria just isn't met. Criteria B, that in, I'm just going to abbreviate it, I'm not going to read the whole thing, that in a C zone, which this is, the proposal will be consistent with the classifications of the adjacent streets and the desired character of the area. The zoning code defines desired character as the preferred and envisioned character, usually of an area, based on the purpose statement or character statement of the base zone, overlay zone, or plan district. That's something we reviewed last time. The CM3 zone, and this is quoted from that, it is intended to be an intensely urban zone. This ground floor absolutely does not meet that requirement. It also states that development is intended to be pedestrian-oriented with buildings that contribute to an urban environment with a strong street edge of buildings. This configuration doesn't meet that. And also, the North Interstate Plan District says encouraging development that increases neighborhood economic vitality, amenities, and services, and successfully accommodates additional density. In some senses, I think that is met, but in that same paragraph, enhance the pedestrian experience is also listed as one of the requirements to meet that. And this locating storage and residential uses, I don't think meets that criteria. And then criteria E, any impacts resulting from the adjustment are mitigated to the extent practical. No mitigation is proposed, so I think that criteria is met.
Thank you very much. Other commissioners?
I, as I mentioned, I went and visited the site and went up and down Interstate looking at other buildings. And I wanted to make sure that that any kind of variations from the absolute minimum would equally meet the purpose statement of the M overlay zone. And my view still remains the same, which is by moving their bike storage area from the corner, northwest corner, to another place in the building or with the addition of additional area to the building to a different place, and keeping the existing commercial on the southwest area, as is, the same configuration or size, combined with the lobby area, which is very active, and the way the residential area on the ground floor level with stoops and landscaping, in my view, this will equally meet the purpose statement of the M zone, and that is where I am still.
Thank you very much. Don?
I've struggled with this one quite a bit during the hearing and I think outside the hearing, but I think I'm basically in support of the staff report. I do think that...
Don, would you speak real close to your mic?
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
I do think we have to be a little more nuanced on some of these rigid percentages. They don't have to be exactly 25% of the 23.2 or whatever. They essentially meet the intent of the code. So I think by converting the bike storage into commercial space, maybe it's an emerging entrepreneurial situation or a service person, it essentially meets the intent of the code.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I'm somewhat in the same boat where I was on last Thursday. I tend to agree with Zuri that the bike storage has to become an active use. I mean, there's the way where it is right now is so, I think it needs to get as close as possible to that 25%, and as far as I'm concerned. So the reconfiguration, maybe taking some of that depth out of the, I don't remember where east and west is, but of the current retail space, that little bit in the back, and at least converting. Thank you, Ben. Maybe. Okay, it doesn't matter. I mean, I can describe it. I guess the current retail space, it could get shallower as far as I'm... Yeah, leave it right there. That piece could go away, but that needs to be retail. And the way...
Or this, active use?
Or one of the active use, a daycare, whatever the six or seven defined active use.
They're defined in Center's Main Street overlay.
In the M overlay, as defined in the M overlay, that has to change. I mean, if this can remain, that'd be great. That gets it close to 23%. I'm really, I think that's a valiant effort to meet it. I think the bookending of these two things with the well-done residential entries for those two apartments or two condos is can create a vibrant street, and it's getting really close to meeting it. So that's where I'm at.
Okay, thank you very much. So my thinking on this and the comments I'm going to share are, so I've lost a lot of sleep over this over the past week, and I'm tired and I am cranky. So all of this is important discussion given what is happening with national policy around housing and the frayed social infrastructure that we are experiencing. Housing is becoming a national emergency, and it is, in fact, at this point, so frayed that I'm not sure that there is repair available. And I spend a lot of time thinking about this because this is the work that I do. So this is a very, very difficult case from my perspective. And I don't know if everyone in the room knows this, but design commissioners, we swear an oath before our first day in the hearings room. This is mine. It's very brief, it's very direct, and it commits commissioners to supporting the constitutions of the United States and the state of Oregon, and also the charter of the city of Portland and its laws. And the document that we commonly know as the Portland Zoning Code is actually Title 33 of the code, and it's part of the structure of our city's laws. Title 1 in the code is all about ethics, and part of it reads, quote, policymakers place long-term benefit to the public as a whole above all other considerations, including important individuals and special interests. However, the public interest includes protecting the rights of underrepresented minorities. And that's the end of the quote. So when council adopted the center's Main Street overlay zone, it is my belief that council intended for all of Portland's residents to benefit from the requirements of the active use that is required at ground floors, the floor area ratio, the setbacks, the vehicle areas, the ground floor window standards, the entrances, everything that goes into Center's Main Street. I want to be super clear. When this was adopted, I think that it was a signal from council that these development standards, which contribute to the long-term livability and economic vitality of our city's neighborhoods, are to the benefit of all of Portland's residents. Council could have crafted an exception, and it's notable that they didn't, because an exception would have sent the message that not all of Portland's residents deserve the benefits of long-term livability and economic vitality. That a lesser standard that creates a lesser building, that creates a lesser neighborhood, is an acceptable outcome for both the residents of the building and the residents of the neighborhood. And to add to this, the Centers and Main Street overlay zone was adopted a year ago, more than a year ago, and it was in the works for several years before that, so it should not have been a surprise to the design team. Many other design teams are working successfully with the requirements of this code on behalf of clients with equally challenging programs and equally challenging financial constraints. Adjustments and modifications must equally or better meet the intent of the standard being adjusted or modified. In a code environment where no parking is required, but an active ground floor is, I can't find that the distribution of the ground floor program elements equally or better meet the intent of the standards. So I think you know how I will vote.
So I have a question. I think Sam and I are sort of in agreement in terms of what we want to see out of this, but with a little bit of difference. In that, for me, the configuration and the size of existing commercial space, especially the size, is very, very important, because I view that at this size and even configuration, it could be divided into two commercial spaces, which that makes a difference. And in addition to that, that size and the size of the new commercial space, it gets us closer to 25%. Am I right, Ben?
Yes, it would get you to approximately 23%.
Okay. So that's what I will be voting for. I just wanted to make it very clear where I am coming from, right, and what my rationale is and what I'd be voting for. So okay, if there are any differences, then we have to somehow work on reconciling that.
I'll add to that. I'm, you know, again, as I said, where is the, does it work? That's not, I'll borrow this one.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I'm willing to concede this piece. And that is not 23%. I mean, if you take this piece, that is something more like 19%.
Right.
But I'm also, I mean, it's not the way the code is written, but right, I do believe that the ground floor entry of a building is an active space and an active use. So to a certain extent, it's not.
That is not what our code says.
It's not what the code says. I get it. But I think the result is in my mind, is similar. And that's why I'm willing to consider, if you keep this as 23%, so we're 2% shy, I'm okay with that.
Okay. Well,
go ahead.
I was going to suggest that we move to conversation about the second appeal, but I don't want to shortchange this conversation, although I don't know that anyone is going to change their mind on their vote.
Good point. Let's move on.
How about opening conversation about the second appeal, which is the removal of the conditions, and your response to Ben's tentative findings?
Oh, before we leave the previous conversation, I do have a question. So Zeri's position Is that reflected in the current, Ben, is that reflected in the current staff report?
Exactly right. There are findings talking about how if the bike parking were relocated to anywhere else in the building and the commercial space at the southwest corner were left as is, you would achieve approximately 23% ground floor active use. The condition of approval is not written that way, so it would need to be tweaked if that's the way the commission ends up voting. The commission of condition of approval currently is written, I believe it says 18.3%.
What is it, Ben?
18.3.
Which is based on the numbers that were presented at the last hearing by Carlton Hart and their diagrams that are up here.
This is on page 28, and it's highlighted in yellow.
Thank you.
So with the idea that moving the bike parking to, there was a lot of discussion about this at the last hearing, moving the bike parking to where Sam was just talking about it would basically be a net neutral, just transfer of active floor area from one location to a different location. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's how that condition was written, because that's what I thought the commission's direction was. Minds may have changed since then, or maybe I misunderstood, and that's fine. That's why I have findings for both cases in the adjustment findings, and we can tweak that per your discussion today.
I read this condition as being consistent with the discussion that happened last week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're getting to the 23% because you're calculating a lobby in there.
No. Because you're keeping, you see the red piece at the bottom there? You see this piece? So if you take this and that, that's 18.3. If you put that back in, which is currently in here.
Oh, I see. So if you meet the adjustment, then you'll meet the condition because the condition is less. Right?
Meet the adjustment.
No.
Let me try to explain it. I'll go back to maybe just the floor plan. The retail space or the commercial space as it exists right now is at about 18.3% active ground floor space. If you take the bike parking over here and move it over to here, it doesn't really change the equation. You're just shifting space around, so you'd still be at 18.3%. If you take the bike parking and put it anywhere else in the building or take away a couple parking spaces and have an active space fully in this space and the entire space on the southwest corner that is already shown as active space, you'd be at approximately 23% ground floor active use.
Okay.
Which was the conversation that I had last week. Discussed and was hoping that your findings would be a little bit more clear about that. But but that's okay. So.
I'm okay.
But
we can move on.
Is that clear what I'm trying to explain?
But it's, the condition for me, I can't. Obviously, based on my position for the adjustment, I can't support the condition either.
Okay, thank you, Jessica.
And to be clear, if the commission decides to take this bike parking and put it anywhere else in the building that's not in this space, then that condition should be revised to say 23% instead of 18.3%.
That's what I was wondering. Okay. Right. And that can be done here in the hearings room.
Yes.
Prior to the vote.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Sam, Don, Zeri?
Good.
Do you support the condition?
Yeah, at 23%, yes.
At 23%?
Yes.
Okay. And Zeri, you're also at...
Consistent.
You're also at 23%? Yeah. Sam?
I'll go there, too.
Okay. Ben, we'd like to recraft that condition of approval to read 23%.
Noted. That'll be reflected in the final findings.
Thank you very much. Okay, I think we have consensus around both votes. So I will ask for a motion and a second for the first vote, which is the vote on the Overlook Neighborhood Association's appeal.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Yeah, please. And if you want to prompt us on voting yes, no, which is the correct way to go, because we actually don't receive too many appeals. We want to be sure we do it correctly.
We'll figure that out in a second. I wanted to circle back and remind you that you had previously started a conversation about all the other conditions of approval. And just wanted to remind you, if you wanted to have that discussion, that you were starting down that path and then...
Thank you very much. Yeah, other conditions.
I thought when we left last, unless people have changed their minds, we had a majority that said that they were okay without those conditions, provided that the 20, what is now become the 23% was met.
Yeah, that was my understanding as well, but this is an opportunity to revisit that.
My opinions for the conditions have not changed, and I'm in the minority, so I think I'll just leave it at that.
So I, yes, my position remains the same, but I want to just put it again on the record from me, is that one of the conditions that staff had put in for the 6 inches of landscaping outside the fence on the Alberta Street, which I said I'm willing to not accept the staff's recommendation on that. But I want to echo what Julie, you mentioned. After visiting the site and realizing how much traffic there is on Alberta, the fact that the residential area there has no separation from sidewalk and is flat, that is really disconcerting for me. And although it was not part of the condition of approval, I want to make sure that we do not, by whatever action we take today, are not endorsing that. So I want to echo what you stated last time. So I don't know how we do that, but
thank you for keeping this open and alive, Ben, this thread of conversation, because this is important.
Right.
Safe and active ground floor residential units exist across the city, and they can be a really great benefit to their immediate context if they are done well. My review of these ground floor units is that they fail to transition from public to semi-public to private space. And in fact, they transition pretty much directly from public sidewalk to bedrooms, sleeping spaces. That design solution on Interstate Avenue is a hardship on residents in the community. And it is exacerbated on Alberta Street because those units are at the ground floor with no buffer. For all intents and purposes, no buffer in between the bedroom windows and the sidewalk. And I think it makes the residents vulnerable. And it is a very poor response to guideline D5. Use site design and building orientation to reduce the likelihood of crime through the design and placement of windows, entries, active ground level uses, and outdoor areas. It's really clear what that guideline wants to see, and this is not it.
Well, I think Brian had brought in studies of successful live spaces on public streets, and this clearly violates the best practices of everything that we've talked about.
Yeah.
It's probably a failure. In fact, they should not even be residential, as far as I'm concerned. They should be work, or they should be some sort of commercial space. But here we are, and I thought Ben's approach to putting in at least 1 foot of landscaping on the inside of the fence seemed entirely reasonable to me. And from a cost standpoint, there was no implication. So I was surprised at the applicant's, or appellant number two, feeling so strongly about that. In fact, I thought a lot of the things that Ben had brought up were entirely reasonable.
Yeah.
And they could have been negotiated instead of just flatly denied.
Ben worked really hard to get it to an approval. Thank you, Ben.
So I have a question, because I don't support that condition, although I think last week there was testimony that pointed out that not having that plant area there would make it maybe possible for somebody to use that space in a different way that was not a bedroom, but maybe an office or some kind of other space. Yeah. I don't think those spaces necessarily support that, their use as retail space. But I don't understand why we are eliminating all of the conditions, and because of the adjustment, the two are separate.
Correct.
So I'm not quite sure how we got to this. It's one or the other. It seems like each condition should be weighed on its own merit, not in comparison to the adjustment. That's just my thought.
Well, my thinking was, again, you know, we have discretion to think unbalanced. So that was one issue for me. And then the other issue was the remedy suggested doesn't make material difference. And it didn't. So those were the two reasons why I thought, you know, I'm sorry to say this, putting lipstick on the paint, that's a bad analogy, but it just didn't make any difference.
Referring to all the conditions?
Right. Some of the specific points.
And we kind of got there because we thought if we could accommodate appeal number one and get up to 23%, then maybe these were not as important conditions, so we waived them. But in fact, I thought each one of those had some merit and should have been talked about in some detail, and we did not. So with the exception of the 12 inches of grass, or whatever that was. And partly it was, everybody was getting tired at that point, frankly, yeah.
Okay, so. Julie, so I'm gonna go back on not commenting on my previous positions on the conditions. But where is the list of conditions? Because.
The original list. They,
those were deleted per.
Per our.
Commission direction.
Direction last
I time. Can bring up the conditions from.
Could you do that?
The decision.
That would be great.
While he's doing that, one of the things that I observed in my site visit, actually like maybe less than a block, half a block, maybe 200 feet away from that the site, there was a residential area, a single family that had this hedge of beautiful arborvitae that it just did a great job of on Alberta to provide a privacy screen for that specific unit, which it demonstrates that with good thinking in terms of landscaping and good maintenance and care, you could really have a good screening for that specific condition of the fencing.
Thanks for pulling these up, Ben. Okay, condition E, additional in-ground landscape at the Alberta frontage to support the residential units. Condition F, full lights and transom windows at the ground floor residential unit entries. Condition G, a canopy or awning at the length of each storefront window bay on the west elevation, that's on Interstate, and at the southwest and northwest corners of the building. And condition H, replacing the chain link fence that's proposed with a site obscuring wood fence. And Don, I believe that we talked about each one of these.
We did.
I can remember your position on each one of them.
The fence I didn't think was necessary. I thought a canopy, a single canopy at the entrance to the commercial space could have been a gesture to meet the code requirements and also indicate entrance, which is important. But I think the other commissioners didn't feel that same way.
Sam, are there any of these that you choose to resurrect?
Not really. I mean, I think they're relatively minor in my opinion. The bigger issue is the adjustment.
Okay, you're consistent with your thoughts from last week, Zeri. Mm-hmm. How about you?
Well, the only one that I would is condition F. Now, doors with full lights. I saw on the plan lights on the. No.
They're solid.
No. What was on? was that a camera? There was something
there,
on top.
There was of... there were two alternate strategies.
Oh, right. I see. Right. So I saw. So I actually do not support the doors with glazing, but I like, for the sake of the residents, the transom light on top of the doors rather than the vertical or the doors.
Side light. Yeah.
Yeah, rather than the side light. Yes.
That was my position also. But
right. Yeah. Just so that they can get some a little bit more light.
Same opinion as last time. I absolutely support the condition. I think it's necessary. I understand that these are residential units in a place where there shouldn't be residential units. But if they're going to be there, then they need to perform the best that they can. At least from my perspective, what we are here for is to protect the pedestrian realm. And those doors having glazing makes a huge impact in that area versus having more solid blank facade.
So I think you support glazing at the door and also the transom above the door, and other commissioners may support just the transom above the door. So Jessica, Don, and Zeri, if you want to add a condition of approval, I think it's up to the three of you to negotiate the terms of that condition.
Can we
it does not influence my vote.
Can we go back to the condition of approval? Actually, that's a good point. My vote will still, I will still vote in favor of the overlook appeal. So just for the record, I think that we should support condition F, but my vote is effectively null.
Yeah, and there's two votes, right? One for appeal one and the other for appeal two. So we're talking about appeal two now.
Right.
So Zeri and Don, do you want to add a condition that says there must be a transom above the entry door of the residential units, ground floor residential units?
I would support that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sam, do you support that? Does it change how you vote?
No.
Small.
Yeah.
Ben, we'd like to add that condition, please.
Is that condition F? Yeah.
Well, I don't have the conditions anymore.
So just
got it up on the screen.
Just the transom window.
Just the transom window.
Got it.
I believe that would be condition F.
And with lights, obviously, if there were two options, you know, the option with the lights on the door.
The light fixture.
The light fixture,
yeah.
Right.
Okay, any further discussion
about
the revised findings?
E, which would be adding a little bit of landscape planters on the Alberta side?
Well, I also remember the conversation that without the landscape, I mean, the landscaping is not separated, it's not significant enough, but without it, it gives a little bit more flexibility how that space, the ground floor space, could be used. And for that reason, I was willing, I mean, I'm the person that always promoting landscaping, but I was willing to say, no, let's not do that because it's really not that significant. And it's not going to be done by the developer. It's going to be dependent on the property owner to do it anyway.
Yeah, I think the thinking was that residents could then personalize their landscaping.
Right.
I'm of the same mind. I feel the same way.
I'm the minority on this one.
Okay. Okay.
So, are we ready for?
I think that we are ready for a motion and a vote on the Overlook Neighborhood Association's appeal. Ben, could you walk us through the yes/no?
Let me help you with the motions that you were considering. You wanted to change condition of approval D in your tentative findings to read 23% instead of 18.3%.
Condition D, okay.
Yes.
You wanted to add back part of the original condition F, which would now become condition E. Just saying that doors along the residential entry doors along North Interstate and North Alberta should have a transom window above them. And also I'll note that, I don't know that this needs to be part of the condition, but it's up to you, that Commissioner Santner wanted them to also have light fixtures still above the doors too. correct?
Light fixtures?
Or a light fixture at the entry. It seems as though...
Well, I thought there was one proposed.
That's what I thought.
Not on the condition of approval there wasn't, but on the one that was proposed by the applicant there was. If you look up there...
Yeah.
I see. Yeah, so...
They have a porch light here.
Right.
So let's be specific and say that we are adding a transom and that there will also be a light at the entry.
Yes.
And not specify the location of the light because that will
there
need to be...
There would be a light.
That
yes.
will need to be, designed.
They can work that out. Okay. And then I might need some help from Tim here on how to structure a vote. I think, Tim, help me out. Maybe it makes sense to vote on the individual appeals first.
Yeah. And just...
So upholding or overturning the... What is it? Upholding or denying the appeals?
Wait, if I'm reading... the noses, right? You'd technically be denying the appeals and upholding the original staff decision with modifications to the conditions.
There we go.
For both appeals, though I think they're similar, but I think you might address each.
So you don't want to add the information of the amount of commercial space on the denial of the appeal from the neighborhood?
I think that is largely irrelevant because that's addressed through the condition of approval in the other appeal.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think that was my understanding.
Okay.
So we're just denying appeal number one, is in essence.
Right. It's kind of a double negative.
Good.
Right. So it sounds like you'd be denying appeal number one. Denying appeal number two and removing a few of the conditions of approval and tweaking a couple others.
Okay.
Wouldn't you be approving appeal number two with new conditions? I'm sorry, I'm confused.
It is confusing. One of our smartest planners helped us figure this out.
Thank you, Hillary.
I think the easiest way to do it is to just vote on the tentative findings in front of you today and not worry about the exact language of, are we denying an appeal?
Okay.
Upholding an appeal? We've had the deliberations. You have new findings that reflect that with the tweaks that we talked about today.
So commissioners can vote by stating whether they are in support of the tentative staff report with the revised conditions or not.
Actually, these findings might have the rest all encompassed within that. Maybe I'll just read it out loud because now I remember writing this. The tentative decision right now says deny the appeal of the Overlook Neighborhood Association, partly grant the appeal of Martin Segura, and uphold the administrative decision with revisions to the findings by the Design Commission, thereby approving the proposal. So you can just say you want to uphold the staff this tentative findings or not uphold it. With the conditions that you want to add or amend.
Okay.
I think that's the easiest.
So it's still an up or down vote on the tentative findings, on the staff report.
Yeah, that's probably the cleanest way.
Yeah, okay, very good. So both appeals are wrapped up in the staff report.
They are.
Thank you very much.
And the 23% commercial is on page 23 of your staff report, correct?
It is, yes.
And so it is included,
It's included in the findings, and per your deliberations, your motion should be to amend condition of approval D to say 23% instead of 18.3.
Okay, so we are just going to have one vote. May we please have a motion and a second?
To be honest, I'm so confused. I'm not sure what the motion is.
Could we have maybe it was just a motion to support the staff report or the revised staff report as stated in this?
If someone wants to write it down, I can help figure this out. A motion to support the revised tentative findings with amendments to or revisions to condition of approval D so that it says 20.3% instead of 23% instead of 18.3%. And to add a new condition of approval E.
That's right.
That asks for transom windows, basically just this section right here.
I have it written here that all units on the ground floor will have a transom window at the door and a light fixture.
Yes, that's exactly what you talked about.
You wanna, I didn't write it down. I thought you were.
Okay. I moved to support the revised tentative staff report and a change in condition D to from 18.7% to 23% of ground floor active use, and revised condition H, I believe, which is to add a transom window plus a light fixture at the entrance to the ground floor live spaces.
I'll just clarify, it's not to revise condition H, it's just to add a condition back.
Okay. All right.
And a second?
Second.
Thank you very much. Laura, may we have a roll call?
Commissioner Santner?
Well, as everybody said, this was a very, very difficult case to review. And I think the building has a lot of good qualities, but it had areas, especially on the public realm and ground floor areas, that could have been improved more. And I appreciate the testimony of the neighborhood. And based on that testimony, I was able to confirm my resolve that addition of commercial space without reducing the existing or proposed commercial space would be advantageous and meet the guidelines of the M overlay zone and the intent of that guideline. And based on that, I vote yes.
Commissioner Ballister?
Yes.
Commissioner Rodriguez?
I vote yes. I would like to, however, say a few things to the architect, since the applicant team is not here, but it was here in force at the last hearing, I know you're here, and I want you to pass that along to your applicant team, that the behavior in the hearings room was really disgraceful. That the interruptions during the deliberations and the interruptions to the neighborhood association were really terrible, that they did show no respect for the process, no respect for what other people have to say if they're against whatever they were supporting. So I thought it was really, really terrible, and I would like you to please pass that along, that that is just not the right behavior for this chamber. Thank you.
Commissioner Molinar?
Before I cast my obvious vote, I just want to say that reviewing Type 2 appeals, in my mind, is one of the most difficult things that we do, because we're asked to look at a project with a very small amount of previous knowledge of that project, and we're only really looking at the issues that are under appeal, which doesn't give us a great sense of a lot of the reasoning behind the decisions that are made. And in this case, I think that the ground floor is just not acceptable, particularly on a site this large with this much space to move program around. So I can't, in good faith, sit in this chair and support that. So I vote no.
Chair Livingston.
For all of the reasons I stated earlier, I also vote no. And that's it. I believe we are concluded, and we will take a short, maybe 5-minute break, and we will return for the next item on our agenda, which is a design advice request for the OHSU Hospital Expansion Project.